This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
It's time for a community interview on MPR.
A quick correction for the interview you're about to hear. Both Will and I got the time and location wrong for the showing of the movie Herb's Songs of Freedom. It's going to be at the Globe on Saturday, the 5th of October. So if you want to go along, that's the place to be. This morning, I have a very special guest on the morning show. Coming soon, this Saturday night, in fact, is a special showing of the film Herb's Songs of Freedom. Herb's probably one of the most iconic New Zealand bands of all time. Even if you don't think that you know Herb's, I can guarantee that there is a Herb's song that you know without knowing that it's Herb's. And coming down as part of the tour for this movie, not only the associate producer but the inaugural manager of the band, Will Ilolahia. Good morning, Will. How's it going? Thanks for talking.
Yeah, morena hiu, and thanks for having me on this morning show. I'm just happy to share the work with you, and I've always had some good times down in Palmerston North.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear it. The first thing to ask you about the movie and about Herb's is, what do you think the impact was of the band and its music? Because, you know, reggae is always message music, or good reggae is always message music, I think, and Herb's were no exception.
The band itself originally had, like you said, message music, and we were writing and singing things that were of concern at the time, and quite significant actually in regard to the present day, because a lot of the stuff that we wrote back in the last century are still important, if not more important, crucially today. I feel there's a bit of a New Zealand crisis going on at the moment.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that a bit, eh?
Yeah, well, the thing is that, I'm not talking about the climate change thing. I mean, that's a global thing that needs to be rectified. But I think here in New Zealand, I just finished touring South Island with the project, and it was just quite shocking to find out that a New Zealand student was found dead in his student unit for 8 weeks. And what's concerning me as Kiwi is that how can someone be, in his room for 8 weeks and no one knew that he was dead?
No, and I mean, I was a very bad student, and that was back in the early 2000s. But even back then, there was a real push from the universities towards, corporatizing and more bums on more seats and everything faster. And you could kind of see things heading in that direction even back then, and they were just kind of let to have free reign of it,
Yeah, there is a problem about the corporate side, but I'm actually talking about Kiwis. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I read a story about an old pensioner who died in his unit, and he was that was 3 days that he and people around him. What I'm saying about the crisis here is that I think as a back in the old, I'm grey hair and 68, but back in my younger days, the Kiwi take care of each other was quite a normal normal thing, you know, walking down the road and you're saying hello to people and how are you, but that doesn't seem to happen. And I think, right now, and I think, you know, we're becoming sort of really just self-focused, that we don't even focus about the neighbour and the poor student down in Canterbury. Yes, the corporate had some questions to be answered by not having anybody check the room, but I'm just talking about the teachers. I mean, you know, students and all that, not missing the sky for 8 weeks.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing that maybe Māori and Pacific culture does a bit better than mainstream New Zealand culture, just in terms of kind of embracing wider communities. Do you feel like that's a thing that maybe the mainstream could learn from?
Exactly, and that's the thing that I think, you know, when people come, the people have come to watch the Herds movie, and I'm not saying this because I'm an associate producer and that I'm in the movie, but we haven't had one person criticizing of the movie, even from a cinematic point of view. I mean, our sound in the movie is actually, we've done specifically a good sound mix of it, so it makes the people in the audience really feel the messages that we put out. And so it's a concern, actually, that, you know, this is going on in our country. We've written about it and sung about it and all that. And, you know, unless we wake up, you know, what we provided as Māori and Pacific Islanders, or Polynesians, as we call ourselves, has, as you quite rightly pointed out, Hugh, has benefits in our society that we could pass on to mainstream. Because, it's a real concern that mainstream society is actually, you know, crumbling, as I would call it.
Now, talking about the kind of Polynesian angle, one of the big things about Herbs, of course, is, I mean, they're a big reggae band, which means, you know, lots and lots of people to handle, and also a pan-Polynesian band. It's not just Māori or just Samoan or just Tongan or anything like that. Did you find that managing a group of people like that presented particular challenges when you were doing it?
Oh, definitely, mate. It was a challenge. I mean, to be straight up, after managing the band for a few years, I ended up going managing sports teams because they were so disciplined. But the other thing also is that we did have a big mix, and we had a microcosm of New Zealand society within the band. You know, we had a Pākehā bass player, a Samoan Cook Island drummer, a Samoan lead singer, Tongan lead guitarist, a Māori rhythm guitarist, and occasional Samoan Māori percussion players.
You're right. I mean, that is a really specifically New Zealand kind of mix. Do you think that gave the band a really specific New Zealand identity being made up that way?
No, definitely, and some of the major acts that we toured with, and you know, bands like UB40, and that they really picked it up, and also saw the Pan Pacific, the Pan Polynesian, and wider mix of our band, because they were mixed themselves, UB40, in regard to their ethnic makeup, but not as diverse as we were, and that definitely helped in regard to a lot of the music that we performed, you know, besides the message.
I mean, that's been one of the really big things about reggae and ska outside of Jamaica, hasn't it? Is that the bands that play that music tend to be at the vanguard of kind of integrating different cultures and different communities.
Yep, you're right. And the other thing about Herds was that they're the innovators of what is called Pacific reggae. You know, there's a slight different beat, but the more so with Herbs was the harmonies that we've had, you know, and, you know, Kiwis are good singers in a sense, but, you know, we had seven-part harmonies in the group, which made the group stood out, and, you know, comments from bands like UB40 and Stevie Wonder and them were, and some of the band players were asked by the overseas artists to join them because of their not only their musical talent but the but their diversity and harmony.
That's fantastic. And I mean, I guess that's part of the cultural roots as well, is that kind of tradition of not just singing, but singing together in a group and finding harmonies and doing all of that stuff.
Yeah, and that's why I'm encouraging people to come to the movie because, like I said, you know, I mean, I just got a report the other day from a theatre over North Shore, and people was at the end of the movie standing up and giving the movie a standing ovation.
Fantastic.
I'm really trying to encourage people that are listening in to come along and watch this movie because it's actually, you know, just recently, you know, the government's announced about, you know, that they had more New Zealand history in the curriculum. Well, Herb's movie is actually New Zealand history and music. This is a good chance of parents and their children, that kind of stuff, to come along and just catch up New Zealand history in a 90-minute musical extravaganza.
I was gonna raise that as a point. I mean, when did Herb start? Because they kind of tie right the way through the history of not just New Zealand music, but some pretty pivotal moments in terms of New Zealand's kind of political and national history as well.
Yeah, Herb started around about, 1980, basically they were called Pacific Herbs, and then we moved in as management and set out a couple of what you call these days strategic planning of things that needed to be done. And we were at a time when the Springboks tour was happening. We were at a time when the French were letting off atomic bombs in Moriroa, Tahiti. We were at a time when the Bastion Point, the land situation of Aotearoa was being questioned. We came at a time when a lot of things that were happening in Aotearoa that has shaped Aotearoa, and we're just probably lucky that our music has actually been part of the, part of it. I mean, you know, we know, for example, that when Greenpeace goes around, and this is Greenpeace globally, when they go out to do their actions in regard to trying to keep the nuclear free and that kind of stuff, that French letter is played on their loudspeakers as they go out.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's so cool that you get, you know, the music gets used in that kind of way.
I remember back in the days when back in those days when there was a song put out by a singer called Randy Crawford, and she wrote a song called "Music Speaks Louder Than Words," and I think that the Herb's movie, but also the Herb's experience, depicts what that song talks about you know, that how music in a lot of ways, you know, even though it's just words, but then melodically or in music in kind of music form actually gets the message across. Prior to the Herbs, I was a part of a group called the Polynesian Panthers, and my natural progression, I suppose, to managing Herbs was me being able to see us getting a message out to a wider audience, as opposed to just walking down the street with placards.
Well, look, thank you very much for talking to me today. It's been great to talk. Do you want to maybe play a Herb song to finish things off and kind of whet people's appetite to come along on Saturday night?
Sure. I think Rust and Dust is probably a relevant song at this stage. We were talking about 245T, you know, when the place was getting sprayed by 245T. And it's interesting that our recent... we call these community screens that that's happening on Saturday down at the Royal Theatre down there in Palmerston North. And at a recent community screen, we had a lot of Indonesian students who picked up the Rust and Dust track because of their deforestation and their worry about what's happening over at their place in Indonesia. So I think that's a good track to play especially with the concern about climate change and all that.
Excellent. So we'll listen to that now. Get along on Saturday night, and I guess maybe look out for Indonesian language versions of this song coming up soon as well.
Yeah. Now, the Herd songs have actually been translated quite a bit. You know, it's even played in Japanese over the World Cup at the moment. You know, the old familiar da, 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 da. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, that one's baked into people at a genetic level, I think.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, the movie's all about. And so, you know, again, just asking people, come on, you know, come, bring your family along and watch this historical thing, because, as I said, so far, all the people that have gone to movies have clapped at the end and even standing ovations in some places.
Excellent. Well, to whet your appetite, here is Rust and Dust. You've been listening to my interview with Will Ilolahia, the associate producer of the movie Herb's Songs of Freedom, also the inaugural manager of the band Herb's. Just as I mentioned at the start of the interview, we did both get the location and the day wrong. It's the 5th of October. That's this Saturday at the Globe Theatre here in Palmerston North. So if you want to get along to that, make sure that you get your tickets now.
You've been listening to another community interview on NPR. Also available on demand at npr.nz. support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.